Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're around.
The way we read the Bible, the preparation that we do in our minds before we read the Bible has a lot to do with what we gain from it. To simply go through and read things for speed, to get something done in a hurry, you can remember book reports that you had to do in high school, perhaps, that you really weren't interested in the book and you just had to get through it. And so you're dutifully reading and you get to the end and you really don't know a whole lot about what went on in the story. You maybe would recognize some of the characters' names, but you never sat and thought about what they were going through and what it looked like. Well, I want to invite you this morning to think about a story. And I suggested to you last month that if you would read a chapter a day from the time we, or last week, that if you read a chapter a day from the time we start, you'll get all the way through the gospel of Matthew before the end of this month. And I hope you're doing that. I'm going to be talking from the book of Luke this morning, though. And Luke gives us some preliminary things as we look at the life of Jesus. And I want you to be thinking about the featured character in this. The fellow that really this story is about is a fellow by the name of Zechariah. And we'll read some of this, but I'm going to try and pull you aside and make your mind go certain directions. What if this happened to you? You know, what if you had been the guy that God suddenly says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a use for you. Zechariah is just doing what he does. I mean, he's just going about his daily tasks. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah. He was of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. pardon me, this is why I bring this. I went to see my doctor this week for a 6-month appointment. And I always enjoy visiting with the doctor. He and I are good friends, and we'd spend a lot of time together if we lived a little closer, but anyway, we were talking about his frustration because as I'm in the appointment, he's working on a little notepad and he's taking his notes to complete his medical record. And I said, well, how are you getting along with your new software? He said, man, I hate it. And I said, well, why do you hate it for? And he said, well, he says, I have a diagnostic process that I go through and there's a clinical procedure that I use. And this software is out of order of my procedure. And I can't change it. And he says, now I'm having to adapt to it instead of it adapting to me. He said, if it were paper form, I would put it out in the order in which I think. He says, but now I have to think in the order of the software. Well, it amuses me because he's way different than me. He is so sequential and structured and organized that there's just one way for him to do it, and he's being stretched and made to think in a different way. The writer Luke, who writes this book, is like this doctor. Now, he's a doctor as well. And there are things that he notes. If you have a good doctor, you have a doctor who notices detail. And they'll pay attention to small nuance and anything that's a deviation from what they expect to see, they'll investigate because that's what doctors do. Notice the detail that you get from Luke as he writes this story about John. You already know that Zechariah comes from a particular family. And if you know any Bible history, you know that he's married into another priest family. Because his daughter is one of the daughters of the sons of Aaron. So, she's a notable person. And both of these folks have a certain demeanor in their lives. They are considered or would be identified as being righteous. They're righteous before God and they walk blamelessly in all of the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. So they're doing everything right. But they have no child because Elizabeth was barren and now both of them are advanced in years. Now there's some things that maybe Luke didn't intend to teach that we can get from this. One of the things that might be a worthy lesson for us to consider is the fact that these folks are doing the right thing, but they're still not having their dreams fulfilled. They want a child, but they haven't had a child. It was not that they were punished because of some sin that they had done. It was not because they were out of step with God. They simply hadn't had a child. See, God had a bigger picture in mind. Now, we have to be careful about some things in this because sometimes we can, in Scripture, see some specifics about a plan that God has, and we may not be able to see that in our own lives. And we may have the same event, but it not be connected to what goes on in these folks' lives. So don't generalize too much from the story. But in the story, we know that they're doing the right thing, but they haven't got their heart's desire. But God hadn't ended the story yet. Now it came about that he's serving as priest before God when his division was on duty. There's so many priests at this time that they don't all go in and serve the temple all of the time because there's too many of them. So they're put on a rotation and it's done by family. And so the time has come for Aaron's division, Zechariah's division to serve at the temple. But once they serve at the temple, then there's still another step that takes place. Because before they can go in to do something before God, they have to cast lots among the people whose turn it is, and whoever gets the break is the one that's offered the chance to go in. And so he's on duty in his division. As the custom of the priesthood was, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. Now, from his perspective, he just got lucky. If you'd been with him that day and said, "Hey, Aaron, I hear that you're the one that the lot fell to and you're going to get to go into the temple and burn the incense," Zechariah would have said, "Yeah, I got lucky today. Wasn't I blessed that the lot fell to me?" He would not have said, "I'm going in because this is God's design and God has a big secret to tell me." He wouldn't have assumed that. But God has a plan, and so he's going to utilize it. He's chosen by lot to enter into the temple of the Lord to burn the incense, and the whole multitude of the people are praying outside at the hour of the incense. So all of this is going on. And while he is in there, there appeared to him the angel of the Lord, and notice Luke's detail, who was on the right side of the altar of incense. He could have simply said there was an angel there at the altar of the incense, but he goes into significant detail, and some of the other gospel writers will notice later, they don't go into the detail that Luke does. The man who has a withered hand in Scripture, it's told in a number of accounts, but Luke is the one who says he had a withered right hand. He just pays attention to that kind of nuance and small thing. So there stands, appearing before him, the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Okay, now if you're imagining, and you're Zechariah going into the temple, and you know what you're supposed to do, and you've been schooled in this, and you know there's a certain way you present the incense, and you wave it around, and there's certain things you do. You walk in there, and you're not expecting to see this. And your reaction would not be to say, wow, I didn't expect to see you here. Your reaction would have been like his. You would have been fearful. Who is this, and why are they here? And so he is fearful, but the angel says to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're going to call his name John. Now, he's not thinking about his prayers being answered at this time. That prayer isn't in his head. He's just doing his job. But God still has a plan for what God's going to do. And he says, and you're going to name him John. And we'll find out later, John wasn't a family name. It says, and you're going to have joy and gladness, and many are going to rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Now, Zechariah is getting all kinds of information. You're excited about this, but Zechariah, there's something I want you to understand. You're not the only one that's going to rejoice at the birth of this child. In fact, your child is going to influence all of the people of God. And because God has a plan for him, there are certain things that you need to see that take place in his life. And so you don't let him drink wine or strong drink. Just keep that away from him. So Zechariah is getting a lot of information. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to the hearts of the fathers, to the children, to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people who are prepared. Now, because Zechariah is a priest, he knows a little Bible history. Elijah is a great man of God, but Elijah doesn't have an easy life. You've got a child who's going to be like Elijah. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be all cupcakes and soda pop. He's saying that this guy is going to have characteristics like Elijah. He's going to be powerful. People are going to listen to him, pay attention to what he has to say. And it's all according to God's plan. Is it only Zechariah and John's life who are worked out according to the plan of God? Is it possible that in your own life, in the midst of all of your sin, and all your frailty and weakness and stumbling and bumbling and all of the things that we do, that God might also have a plan for you that you weren't figuring on, that you weren't thinking about. See, oftentimes we run through life thinking that, you know, we're just going through it. I get up, I eat breakfast, I go to work, I get off work at a certain time, I interact with a certain number of people, I turn around and come home, and we're going to make supper, we're going to go out to eat, we're going to do this thing and next thing. We come back, and there are certain days that I have highlighted on my calendar, but for the most part, today and tomorrow are just like yesterday and the day before. And we see our lives almost on autopilot. But what if that's not the way it is? What if God in heaven has set up for you to be special in His world? And that He has a plan that you're unaware of? It is true in Zechariah's life. And Zechariah says to the angel, how do I know this? Now, what Zechariah doesn't realize that he's saying is, he's saying, how do I know you're telling me the truth? How do I know this? Now, I would suggest that if you ever run face to face with one of the angels of God, that you not ask how they know things. He's been given some pretty specific instructions to give Zechariah. And Zechariah is saying, this is a lot of information for me to process. How do I know that this is true? I'm an old man, and my wife, I find it interesting that it's phrased this way. Perhaps even in their time, it's best not to call your wife old. He says, I'm an old man, my wife's advanced in years. And the angel says, well, the way you know this is I'm Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Now, you remember that a different John and his brother were traveling with Jesus at one time, and they go into a Samaritan village, and they think that Jesus is going to be welcome there, and the Samaritans say, no, no, we don't like him. And James and John says, hey, God, what do you say we call down fire from heaven and consume this place? Thankfully, Gabriel, who's close to God, doesn't say, John, you're not paying attention. There's no slap to the side of the head. There's no rebuke. It's simply, you've got big things coming in your life. However, something's going to happen now. You're going to be silent and unable to speak until the day all of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, words that are going to be fulfilled in time. What complications does this bring to Zechariah? Who hasn't heard this story? The answer to that is everybody. But there's some pretty important people who haven't heard this story. He's got a wife at home that has no idea about this plan. Sometimes when things of significance happen to us, we get a little wordy as we describe it. I tend to be that way a lot. The other day, I wrote a little bit about it on Facebook, but the other day when I was at the doctor's office, one of the oddest, what seemed really odd to me, was I was in the room, and there are 40 empty chairs in this room, and I'm reading on my tablet, and my attention is kind of absorbed, and I hear this slow steps coming into the room, and I'm not really close to the entrance to the doctor's office. I'm just found a comfortable spot. And this guy comes in and walks past all of the chairs and comes and sit down exactly next to me. And I thought, there are 40 chairs in this room, and you came over and sat right by me. And so I closed my tablet and looked up at him and never said a word. I simply nodded my head. And for the next 10 minutes, he talked nonstop. And I just smiled and nodded every once in a while, and he just kept going. And, it was just a very odd experience. And in case you guys have forgotten, I analyze everybody. So I'm sitting here, all kinds of things going through my head. Why would he come sit by me? You know, what's his life like? Has this guy got nobody to talk to, and is that why he wants to visit? And so I get called into the office, and I just nodded as I left, and still really haven't said anything to the guy other than kind of acknowledge that, yeah, you exist, and I see you, and he's still talking as I'm going into the deal. He's telling me goodbye and all this, and I wave, and I go in and see the doctor, and when I come out, he's not there. Of course, I'm assuming he's gone into the doctor, but I was thinking at the time, maybe I need to spend a little time with this guy. Maybe I ought to acknowledge his presence a little more, and if someone's that lonely, maybe I need to respond to that and react to it in a better way than I've done so far. Well, I get home and I start, first I write this thing down because I thought I want to remember this. And then when Janet gets in, I start telling her the story, and I'm going on and on about this, and it was sort of like I'm doing right now, just on and on and on. Because so odd, so different. And I was anxious for Janet to get home so I could tell her the story. What do you suppose it's like for Zechariah? He's just seen something he's never seen in his world. He didn't know anything about this. And in a normal day, Elizabeth would say, how'd things go at the temple? And he'd say, went great. Hey, I got picked because the lot fell to me, and I got to go in and do the incense, and it's really cool, and boy, you can't believe how beautiful it is in there. And he'd add all this stuff to say, but it would have been normal stuff. He's got something that isn't too normal right now. And the angel says, by the way, you don't have anything to say for the next 9 or 10 months. Nothing. And so, when he came out, everybody's waiting for him and wondering at his delay in the temple. And he comes out and he's not able to talk to anybody. And they realize that he's seen a vision. Think in your head. How do you suppose they realize that? You suppose there's any sign language going on? Any contortions in Zechariah as he's explaining that, big guy can't talk? And then he's got a little more detail that he's going to have to go to at home. but he's not going to be able to talk. He's unable to speak. They realize he's seen a vision in the temple, and they kept making signs to them, but he remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. It wouldn't have been that day. He would have been in a rotation that would have been weeks. And now he's got to go home. And now he's got something he can't tell Elizabeth. He's got information that he's got to figure out, how do I get this across? And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceives, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among the people." 5 months they don't share the information. So what do we do with this? What difference does it make, really, in the grand scheme of things? I mean, I know it's true, and I know this is how it came down, and I know this is what God did in their life, but what difference does that make to us? I mean, other than having the historical background, other than knowing that it wasn't just some impromptu plan of God, but it's all part of a long, elaborate plan, what does it matter? How interrupted was the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth? Now, there's benefit to them. I'm not suggesting that having a child isn't a benefit. But how interrupted is their life? Jace spent the night at our house last night because Mara was sick. And shocker, but when one of our grandkids comes to the house, we don't have a routine night. There are extra things that need to be done. I always remember my grandmother talking about my dad. My dad was her first child. And when my dad was born, she still needed to go out into the garden. And in Texas, the problem with going out to the garden is that there's rattlesnakes everywhere. And snakes especially like to get in the cool of the garden, and they like to be under the leaves and everything else, so she didn't want a baby out there. And she told me that what she used to do is pick up the foot of the bed and put his gown under the foot of the bed and lower the bed back onto it, and now he was trapped. And she said, and then I'd put his toys in front of him, and then I'd go out to the garden. Well, see, her life was a bit inconvenienced because she had a child. It wasn't that she didn't want the child, but she had things to do. Well, God has a specific plan for this couple and the child they have. And their life's interrupted and altered forever. Before you came to faith, you had a life that you had planned out. There was a way you were going to be. You were going to farm. You were going to ranch. You were going to teach school. You had this scheme of what you were going to do. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand that once you come to faith, for disciples, their lives change. You don't encounter God. You don't engage God and live the way that you used to live. And if you're still going about as normal, without thinking about the intervention of God in your life and how that changes how you function, you're missing it. You're not getting discipleship. Because when God comes into the life of a disciple, decisions change. Priorities change. The criteria change. How you make this decision, should I do this, should I not, now runs back through the filter of your discipleship. And some of the things that used to be okay or used to be a part of your life can't be that way anymore. So Zechariah just running into the temple and doing his stuff, life gets different. So one of the things that I want to encourage you to take from the lesson today is this. You may need to live differently than you are now. Not necessarily because you're an evil or a wicked person, but simply because a God has a plan to work through your life. And you need to be open to that and willing to engage it. If there's a way we can help you be like Jesus today, all you need to do is come as together we stand and sing.